Master Marauders for their home opener at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Kickoff is scheduled for 6 p.m. and CFRC's coverage will begin at 5:45.
Watchman Warados de Wagwagon. Tanya Dahaskigon, then on Zewatahu Sadache, Ungahuen, and Hadiwanodos, in the Aboriginal Voices, Oscar Dewanyawar Oscar, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And you are tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM right here at Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. It is 6 o'clock, and you're in with, in for a treat for the next 2 hours here at Aboriginal Voices. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Ani, Nichkiwank, Doug Farquhar, Indigenous, Meanwhile, Sean Story, Esna Minwa, and Ishnabi, Noewin. And Sean, got you
Douglas.
All ready to go. This is so much fun. Hey, the students aren't around yet.
No,
it's quiet
what?
On
what
campus.
What happened to them? Shouldn't they be here by now?
Next week. I guess this weekend they're going to be rolling in. I was instructed that there were going to be a number of events that, Thursday and Friday of this week leading into September 1st on Saturday. Because they got that big football game here against McMaster University. So you going to go to that?
I don't know. When is it?
It's Saturday. Saturday afternoon, right
this
here.
This Saturday?
Yeah. Well, you can listen in at CFRC.
Yeah,
it's at 6 o'clock at night, I think. So.
But I'm a kind of a visual kind of guy. I think I need to see it.
You can listen to these guys.
Jesse
and the other guys there that are doing all the broadcasts. Boy, they make you visualize what's happening in the stadium. Not to mention all the sounds that get around them.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's almost as good as going.
Yeah, I would say. Anyway, I'm looking at what's happening here on Aboriginal Voices tonight. We got a bit of news that's come out. Interesting things have been happening around campus in the last, May and June, part of July.
Such as?
Well, we're going to tell you all about about an event that happened early on. I think it was in June. And I'm going to have to check and see the exact date as I read through it. But Janice Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And Janice retired from her position as the, what was she? She was the vice principal for Indigenous Initiatives and Reconciliation. So, yeah. The Indigenous Initiatives
I
Office.
I heard tell she was a provost. Is that a provost?
She was in the provost position, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you know, we're going to tell you all about it in a few minutes. And also, I got looking at what's happening, and you know, I see that the different faculty buildings are getting set up, and because there are no students around to interrupt your walk as you walk down a different sidewalk.
There's a few out there today.
Oh, not when I came on campus, but anyway, it was quite interesting though, because I could see, you know, what's in the windows of some of the places, some of the to invite you in. And three places I saw, wampum belts, at least replicas of wampum belts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I got thinking about that. Hey, I wonder, maybe we should go and take a tour with our cameras and then come back and we can talk about it with a map of the campus and what wampum belt are they using and try to figure out why would they put that one up? The law building, that's the one that has the most.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, right in there for you. You can step in and you look up, and my goodness, it's an amazing bit of artwork that's there.
Makes sense.
But I also will talk a bit about a new influential Indigenous scholar is joining the law faculty in January. We'll tell you about that person. And the other one is going back in time. Back in time. It's amazing because the Kathleen Ryan archives just down the road from Carruthers Hall, two buildings down from us. And they have a very special letter that was written by Joseph Brandt in the 18th century.
Yeah.
And it's going to shed some light on the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe history.
Is it? It
tells us that anyway. But you can, you know, I have a photograph here that you can take a look at part of the letter. And we're going to talk about it. But they've invited people to come in.
Yeah, quite the penmanship.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing. And you think of the pen
he used.
Must be
all that education in England.
It's not like the pen that I have, okay? Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so it's amazing because he's a noted individual from our shared history over the number of years for this area. But you know, it's really interesting because you and I are able to go in and they'll get out the letter.
Oh, yeah?
We won't be able to touch it.
Yeah, well, can we get gloves?
We won't be able to touch it.
We get those little white mitts.
There'd be somebody with mitts on, not us.
So we can't.
No, but we could read it. And you could read it with your...
Eyes?
Your camera.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Or
well, maybe not, because they get lips on about that, too.
Well, yeah, as long as you don't use flash, probably. But you can use the magnifier. And this links back to the shows tonight.
Could. Well, maybe you could.
Well, they do have one there for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's one that sits like our microphones, you know, sort of on an arm that you can move around. But you can actually look and see from beginning to end this letter and try to digest what it is that he was writing and try to figure out who in the world was he writing to and that sort of thing.
To me, it looks, the first few letters, I have wrote letters to this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that word is.
Oh, cursive writing. That's why all those kids should be learning cursive writing.
Yeah, Governor. Oh, to Governor Clinton. Wow, Governor Clinton was...
You're kidding.
...from the 18th century?
A Governor Clinton.
Pretty sure that's what...
Well, it's not the same Governor Clinton you're thinking of.
Governor Clinton. Mm-hmm. And to my friends... staying, Peter, I don't know, the time. That's about all I got.
Oh, no.
I could probably, if I had a better magnifying glass.
Or a bigger screen.
Possibly a bigger screen. Yeah.
Well, that's the beauty of looking back into the 18th century.
Mm-hmm.
You get to look at it and read it, just like you have trouble reading my writing.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. It's okay.
It is rough, that writing you have.
Yeah, well.
Are you from the 18th century?
Looking at that, I think I go further back than that because I use abbreviations.
Over here.
Anyway, so it's going to be kind of fun. Do you want to start with Janice?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll
let you take
you
a look at
it.
Well, you can just read a little bit about it. It's not very long.
Well, I think you've touched on it all.
Well, we touched on it, but
she's retiring now. I think I read something like she was around since 88 or 84.
Read that.
Want me to read it?
Yeah.
An alumni and lifelong educator and facilitator here of Indigenous knowledge at Queen's University and within the region has retired from her position. I'm pretty sure you've read this. Why am I reading it again?
Did you read this out loud to somebody?
No. You just got done reading it.
No, I didn't read it.
So it says here, Jan's impact on Queen's University can be felt in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. And one of those ways, by the way,
says
impacted us.
Oh, yeah, has
go
it?
Ahead.
Says vice principal. Vice principal Stephanie Simpson. Her guidance has led to everything from a shift to pedagogy to dedicated spaces on campus for Indigenous teaching and learning. I know her legacy will graciously inhabit this university and region for generations to come. Since becoming an adjunct facility member in the Queen's Facility of Education in 88.
Right.
1988.
Mm. Don't ask me the next question there. Was I there?
No, we weren't here.
I was.
Oh, well, you were there. I was not here. I don't know.
1988.
Yeah. I think I was still in high school. Yada yada. She's provided the university with a vital leadership around reconciliation and indigenization. She's also helped establish the Indigenous Teacher Education Program, served as the program's academic co-director from 97 to 98, and was named the director of Four Directions Indigenous Student Center at Queens. She also coordinated and the revitalization of the Indigenous Council of Queens University, assisted in the development of, Indigenous studies minor. And she was a member of the Queens Truth and Reconciliation Commission Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay. The Office of the Vice Principal, Culture, Equity, and Inclusion, and will begin its search. Oh, okay, this is where they're going to be looking for another,
mm-hmm.
another
someone
person.
Someone take that place, yeah.
For someone who will take over the reins.
So that's good.
I mean, pretty big boots to... Wait. I got everyone. Pretty big moccasins to fill.
There you go.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's
you like
good.
That
I
one?
Like that one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I would have said mucklucks, but...
No.
Well, yeah, I wear them all the time on my snowshoes, so...
As a pretty... Oh, I won't use that one.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Okay. They're
I won't
big moccasins, yes.
We'll leave it at moccasins.
Yeah.
But
we want to congratulate Jan on all the work that she has completed. But also, what they didn't say there, but we know, that she had a hand in helping guide us through.
She did?
Yeah. Remember, she would come and help us with ideas that we were stuck on how to do things.
Once in a while.
2014, she took the time to sit with me and talk with me and help me... sort out a plan when we did that series called Our Stolen Sisters. And at first she was recommending, and the way you and I had planned was that we would maybe do two 15 to 18 minute segments, one for 1 week, one for the next week, and request from the federal government that they do an inquiry into stolen or murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls.
Ah.
That's how it started. And Jan was there, to talk to us. And she brought in some of the Four Directions staff to sit and talk and kind of guide us. And then they gave us all kinds of support, people to talk to. They would, organize it. And that whole project ended up with 8 half-hour shows that we aired on here on
That's
CFRC,
right.
Aboriginal Voices Radio Show.
She's touched many here.
Yeah. And so, we appreciate that. Thank you very much, Jan, for that support for our Aboriginal Voices team. And then I bumped into Jan one day when I was traveling, And yeah, and it's really interesting because neither of us expected the other to be there. She gave me a big hug.
Oh, yeah.
I needed that at that moment. Oh. And she talked to me about, you know, what I was doing and the things that are happening and you know, health problems for both of us. And, you know, it was kind of interesting to see how we were able to navigate. And it was good. She just brought lots of joy. Yeah. Laughs mostly.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah.
And, you know, and she was involved in that whole task force here at Queen's University that were trying to sort things out. Yeah. You and I went to a number of those sessions where people were talking with us about what's happening as far as faculty, staff, students here on campus. And they were trying to figure out how everybody can be included in the whole task force.
Hmm.
And Mark Green, who's...
Mark.
Yeah. He taught here at Queen's University, I think in... over here at engineering, mining engineering? I'm not sure.
I believe he's a math teacher.
Oh, okay. And he's right now, I think he's a vice principal here at Queen's University.
Wait a minute, vice principal? I thought that was that Simpson.
There are several vice principals, yes.
Lady. Mm-hmm. Woman.
Yeah, there are a number of them.
Person.
Yeah. So thanks very much, Jan, and we appreciate that. Now, I mentioned too, this is, we'll do something else a bit later after some music, but coming to Queen's University is an influential Indigenous scholar going to join the law department.
Who is it?
Kimberly Murray.
Oh, yeah?
A Mohawk lawyer and executive leader.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And she's been named as Queen's National Scholar in Indigenous Legal Studies. And so Ms. Murray is going to join the Faculty of Law in January here at Queen's University, and she's dedicated her legal career to promoting reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people and advocating for Indigenous communities. Ms. Murray has previously served as the executive director of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission from 2010 to 2015. I'd love to sit down and talk to her about that time period. There'd be interesting things happening. Oh, yeah, because you and I were at a different level.
You think that would be a good time, do you?
Well, yeah, because you and I lived through that time, and we didn't get the same experiences.
I suppose not.
We did get to talk to two or three of the people who were at the high level making decisions for the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Anyway, that's really kind of neat. She's also Ontario's first ever Assistant Deputy Attorney General for Indigenous Justice. And she did that from 2015 to 2022. Quite amazing. And she was also involved in revitalizing Indigenous law and expanding legal services and programs for Indigenous peoples. Very cool. Yeah. So that's...
Some more Indigenous lawyers. Is this her mandate?
Oh, okay.
Is that what she does? Or is she like...
She's going to teach at the Faculty of Law now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah.
She's not working as a lawyer. She's working as a teacher.
Yeah, a teacher of law.
I'm sorry, professor.
There you go. Yeah, Kimberly Murray. So, well, we'll
Very
have to.
Nice.
We'll welcome
Very
her
good.
To CFRC
Here, we
as
get
well.
One of these.
Yeah.
You know what? We should get one of those for Jan as well.
Okay. Yeah, that was a complete round.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have some music that goes with that. Nelson Little from Manitoba area.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he wrote a song called Take the High Road. So we're going to do that just for you, Sean.
Hi, this is CFRC Queen's University Kingston, 101.9 FM. And I'm Don Carter here from Arts 1967 graduate here for the reunion weekend. And wish you were here. CFRC 101.9 FM every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. You'll hear Finding a Voice. My name is Bruce, host of that poetry-focused spoken word program. On it, you'll hear local readings and events, occasionally telephoned interviews across Canada, and always a touch of music. Again, Finding a Voice, here every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Check it out. Hope to catch you there.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could volunteer with Canada's oldest campus radio station? Well, sign up to volunteer with CFRC 101.9 FM today. We're always looking for new volunteers, and we offer a free training program, so no experience in radio production is necessary. You can start your own radio show or podcast, contribute to our news collective, help us sort through music sent to us by record labels and artists, help plan events, record PSAs for us, and even more. Reach out to our programming manager, Alex Fernandez, via email at programs@cfrc.ca for more information, or visit our website at cfrc.ca/volunteer and sign up today.
G'day, I am CJ the DJ, the host of Grad Chat, your opportunity to find out about graduate research here at Queen's. I hope you can join me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Remember, put that in, Grad Chat, at 4 p.m. Tuesdays.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbors Saving Neighbors is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbors Saving Neighbors volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
Well, there you go, Sean. That's an important issue. If you're willing to help and you have an interest in healthcare in your community to help people, there's a way to do it.
Also, it looks good on a resume.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They give you lots of training. I've talked to a few people who are in that program as community volunteers, and they do give lots of training. And support for everybody. So that's kind of neat because we're looking here at Aboriginal Voices to do things and celebrate what people are doing in the community. And that's one of the features that you don't always think about. That's very much like you don't do that yourself, but you're doing things for your community in the health in the healthcare system.
Okay.
Aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You need to know that you're appreciated. Especially from
it would be
from,
nice
from the support you give me all the time. So, yeah, it's kind of neat. So it's good that people are doing that, and that's what we're here to do: celebrate folks who are doing things in their community to support others. Now, I talked about the 18th century letter. They call it a prized letter.
A prized letter,
and it opens the window to the past.
Oh.
Yeah. This was written by the Queen's Alumni Review.
Where'd they find it?
And Jordan Whitehouse is the author of this little... do you want to read part of it or do you want me to?
No, you go ahead.
I'll just paraphrase parts of it, okay?
Okay.
Because a few edges are torn and the paper has yellowed, but the now prized letter written by Joseph Brant on January the 13th
1785. 1785? Yeah. Is that what you said?
That's right, yeah.
My gosh, how many years old is that?
Yeah. Let me look. Well, that's about 230-some-odd years old.
I'm going to calculate
it. Okay, you do that while I keep talking. And he wrote that in what it is, at that time was called Cataraqui, but it's now called Kingston. And it's in remarkable condition.
239 years ago.
Time was close. Okay, but
239 years ago.
Isn't that amazing?
Joseph put pen to paper, and it just now made it. And is that Canada Post for you or what?
No. You got to hear the whole story that goes with it. But I think the ink itself would be an interesting study. The type of pen used and the ink that was used and the quality of the paper. All of those things are really important.
He had the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And you kind of ask yourself, now there's something I hadn't thought about. He had a really good desk. We'd have to go to Brant, the museum there, Brant House.
They got his desk?
To look at
it. They probably have his desk.
They probably do.
Someplace.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, you used your electronic unit. All I had to do was keep reading.
That isn't even the first paragraph yet.
Queen's Archives bought the letter at an auction this year, almost 239 years to the day that the famed Mohawk military and political leader penned the three pages.
Holy wow.
There you go. Now you know how many there are.
Did they say how much they paid?
That's a good question. Somewhere down here I did see that.
We bought the guy at Tim Hortons. Oh, 17 grand?
Yeah, $17,688.
It's like a used car.
It was a bid on that letter. I wonder who else were bidding on it.
Maybe other places. Maybe the archives. The archives up there in Ottawa.
Oh, Maybe and Queen's got it before they did. Wow.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
It's like Queen's or up there at that other one, the Archives of Canada.
Oh, right.
Isn't that the one I was?
Yes. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I was telling you.
Mm-hmm.
You thought. You
but
thought
it wasn't written to them.
UFO, right? Mm-hmm. Was it written to Queen's? They had to buy their own letter?
No, I don't know. See, oh, it was written to, it was supposed to be taken to England.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Anyway, it does talk about the peace talks between the Haudenosaunee and the U.S. officials, and it talks about the second treaty of Fort Stanwyck.
Oh, yeah.
You know Fort Stanwyck.
Yeah. I'm aware.
Yeah. You been there? Okay. Yeah, that's in the U.S., right?
And, it is.
And then Joseph Brandt had organized to get land for the Mohawks from the Mohawk Valley here, where they were protected from the U.S. invasions of their territory. But yeah, it's kind of neat. So I'm just wondering, you know, about going to be able to go to Queen's archives and take a look at it, you know, since it's
planning
here.
A trip, are you?
I am. And you're certainly welcome to come along, but I know you're very busy in your work these
kind
days.
Kind of busy,
and
yeah.
A lot of students coming back to campus, they, I don't know if they're going to be interested in starting out in the archives.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, you can go over to the Kathleen Ryan building right here, just down from CFRC. And they set it up. If you want to see this letter, then you could call or email to make an appointment or visit the reading room. Just walk in.
Just show up?
Just show up, yeah. Well,
so we can come in and show up. We
I want to show up with my camera.
We'll go now.
And my recorder.
Maybe they got one of those.
It's not open right now.
Tell them, can we throw it on the scanner?
maybe they've already done that.
Yeah.
But
I doubt it.
Between 8:30,
well, just send us
between
the thing.
8:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon. But if you want to see and read it, as you noticed, just trying to read part
yeah,
of the
no,
page
it's,
there,
it's,
you're going to need more time than just a few minutes.
It's difficult,
yeah,
to say the least. Now, it looks like they're checking his spelling.
Well, but don't forget a lot of spellings from the 17 and 1800s are quite different than they are in 2024.
This is Mohawks.
Okay. But you don't know how he said it.
I just said it. Mm-hmm. Mohawks.
There you go.
But I doubt that's how he said it. That's just how he wrote it.
He probably did, yeah.
I said, right. Okay, for you people, I'll write it this way.
Mm. Well, don't forget.
To his own people, he probably just said, ah.
For us.
Yeah, you people. Yeah.
But I don't know who he addressed it to at the beginning.
No, I looked at that, too. It doesn't look like he, it's like a to whom it may concern letter.
Mm.
Let me see. I'll see if I can zoom in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that...
Didn't I say Timothy or something like that?
But they don't have any... those are questions that we're going to have.
They don't know. Maybe there's more to the letter.
Maybe we should invite Jordan Whitehouse to come and talk about it, because he's looked at it, studied a bit, he's written about it.
Wondering.
But we've got questions that go with it.
Mr. Whitehouse?
Yeah, because we're interested. And the text itself, the you know, the information and what's it about.
Yeah.
Because he did, you know, like Joseph Brandt did say he was alarmed about the actions of people from New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm sometimes alarmed at that as well.
Okay. All right. So that's what
Is
we have.
Is that it?
Well, did you want to know more?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. But we will set it up, and hopefully we'll have that information for next. in September. Wouldn't that be neat?
Sure.
Yeah. Since this is the last show in August.
This is the last one in August?
Yeah.
Already?
27th of August, 2024.
My gosh, it'll and, be you know, Christmas
we're,
soon.
We're having fun getting through the whole thing, but you know, it's amazing how difficult it is to keep things going. So I just wanted to bring up a song for you that I really thought would fit with everything here. But before we do that, I wanted to go to A Day to Listen. Yeah, a little bit of talk.
Is that coming up too?
Right now.
All right.
We'll do that. And then Revolution, Cody Coyote. So we'll do that. Is that right?
All right? Sure.
Thank you. This is going to be Tanya Talaga with her conversation. And it's going to be quite interesting to hear what she has to say.
Today is A Day to Listen. Radio stations all across Canada are elevating the voices of Indigenous people in Canada, like Tanya Talaga, an Ojibwe author and a visionary for Canada's reconciliation journey. Tanya fuses messages of truth, hope, and Indigenous inclusion through her words. In times of grief and mourning, Indigenous peoples turn to stories, culture, and tradition to heal.
Buzu, Anin, Tanya Talaga, Nigisnakas, Ka Musko Pimojija Pineshish Nigisnakas. My name is Tanya Talaga in English. My name in Anishinaabewewin is Little Bird with Big Wings, carries a heavy burden. We've been through so much for a long time, but lately it's been very heavy. And so I'm thinking about the Anishinaabe Seven Grandfather Teachings. These teachings are a guide. They are seven truths, and these teachings are handed down by our ancestors. And you know, while there are hundreds and hundreds of different First Nations from coast to coast to coast, many of us share a version of the Seven Grandfather Teachings. The teachings are respect, humility, love, honesty, bravery, wisdom, and truth. Without these teachings, we'd be lost. I wanted to tell you a little bit, too, about the teaching of love. And I can't think of a better person to help me illustrate that teaching other than Elder Sam Ashipanenskum. Now, I'm going to talk to you today not about romantic love, but about a love that comes from a love of community, of caring for one another, a love for our people. And I got to tell you, too, that I often visit Sam when I'm in Thunder Bay, and we'll often go to Tim Hortons. And when you first meet Sam, it feels like you've always known him. He's got an ease about him. He's got a warm, deep voice and a very subtle, wicked sense of humor. Sam is always there at Timmy's. Everyone knows him there. And they also know that if you're down on your luck, if you're in need of food, some coffee, a gentle ear, Sam is there for you. But like many First Nations people, Sam's also had a lot of loss in his life. Because of racism, because of colonization, his road to love and to peace, it has not been an easy one. I know for a fact that he works on it every single day. And I know his motivation comes from his own source of love, his love for his family and for his people, and trying to make sense of the Anishinaabe's place in this world. And so when I ask him, why is it important that we live our life listening to these seven teachings? This is what he said. Well, you got to have some kind of guidance. When we were given this life, we were given instructions on how we should live our life, how we should remember our roles and our responsibilities, how we are all tied to nature and we're all tied to each other. Every person born is part of the continuum of life. Now, I just want you to know that Sam is a survivor of three Indian residential schools. And as you know, 150,000 of our children were taken away from their parents and their homes and their communities and sent to the government-funded church-run schools. There were more than 140 of these schools across Canada. The goal was assimilation, to turn all First Nation, Métis, Inuit, and to good Canadian citizens, but we know the truth of what happened in these places. We know they did so much damage, intergenerational trauma, that we continue to live with. Sam was 12 when he went to his first of three schools. You should know that one of the schools he went to was St. Anne's on the James Bay coast. It was a notorious place that had a homemade electric chair used to discipline the students. And he also went to Cecilia Jeffrey, and that's where his cousin, Cheney Wenjack, also was a student. And so when I asked Sam, how do you do it? How did you survive? He told me it's because when he was young, living in the bush with his parents and his family, he learned everything that he needed to know, how to live on the land, how to be in lockstep with the earth and the air and the water and the trees and the animals. He learned his language. He learned his teachings. He had a good foundation. He said to me, that's what kept me whole. And I have to tell you, the teachings that Sam gives, those are the teachings that keep so many of us whole now. And those teachings are a commitment that Sam makes every single day, a commitment to love, a commitment to understand, and a commitment to make Canada a better place for all of our people. And with that, I'm going to say Chi Ming Wich.
Today is a day to listen. To learn more about how you can do something, visit DowneyWenjack.ca.
People think there's only a few Indians left. There's millions of them in the whole continent of America, which includes South America. And one day they're going to be asking for their rights. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't standing next to the black people too. So it's either give now or die later.
Time for you to lock in. Freedom's while we rockin'. Walking that we blockin'. Enough with all the talking. Time for you to hop in. Got the people watching. Stopping and we stomping with knowledge that we dropping. Dismantle institutions. Mishandle distribution. Systemic contributions to those in prosecutions. Media illusions. Weakening solutions. They carry racial bias just like the Constitution. This evil ain't a friend of me. I'll break who you send to me. Working with the government, you're working with the enemy. The eagle gives me energy to wait for my integrity. Abolish any governance for breaking their supremacy. Forget about the laws when you're standing for the cause. We're fighting for our lives and the ones that we have lost. This is for my chalk, written on sidewalks. Listen to my talk, this is for my part. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The retribution's in our minds. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The revolution's on the rise. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The retribution's in our minds. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The revolution's on the rise.
Does my presence make them tremble? Why they keep on staring? Don't care about discomfort, the Kens and the Karens. Think of where they settled, think about the parents. Complicit in behaviors with the privilege they inherit. Need to break the cycle, need to take a stand. Need to check your friends, start to look within. Need to be the idol, be the helping hand. Need you to defend the people being hit. Walking down the city block, assaulted by the city cops. See them acting pretty, watch, never trust the city's ops. Plenty time to rethink, defund the precinct. Every time that we blink, we run to be brink. The empty apologies, lack of restitution. Listen to our prophecies, it's our resolution. Forget the petty policies, break the persecution. Positioning our sovereignty, time for revolution.
We're gonna fight.
Shot. On the right. Tricolor has become as synonymous with the city as the limestone upon which it was built. But that love, admiration, and respect comes with a powerful commitment. A pledge to protect this house. On Saturday, August 31st, the Queens Gales will host the McMaster Marauders for their home opener at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Kickoff is scheduled for 6 p.m. and CFRC's coverage will begin at 5:45.
You gotta give it all you got.
Make space noise like
choo choo choo.
Make noises, okay?
This is Charles Spearin, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario.
Our people will not be defined by our traumas. The connection that we have to these lands and waters and, of course, to each other is far greater than anything that they can do to us. They've tried to beat it out of us. They've tried to over-incarcerate us, residential school it out of us. But it remains. Land back is an invitation. An invitation to those that have been lost. All the brothers and sisters that have been stolen from our nations. And there are many that we are calling home. For us, we've been fighting for land back since contact. Our fight here in Six Nations has been about our 6 miles on each side of that Grand River. And now, that 6 miles, well, that was just the beginning.
and take it away. Don't you take it away. Don't you take it away.
Nuwara tu se wakwaiko. Tanya dahaskiko, then on zewa dahusa dache, ungahuwa na hadiwa nodus, in the Aboriginal voices, Oscar Dewanyawa Oscar, ne Jota FM, C.